Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Tuolumne County Telehall, hosted by Tuolumne County Association of Realtors. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Should you require operator assistance, press star zero on your phone's keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I'd now like to turn the conference over to our host, Ron Kopf, with the Government Affairs Director for the TCAR. Please go ahead.
Okay, good morning and welcome. Thank you for all attending. I would also like to thank our guest speakers, Insurance Commissioner Ricardo Lara, CAL FIRE Fire Prevention Specialist Emily Kilgore, and District Director, U.S. Small Business Administration, Don Golick. Each will have some opening remarks, and first up is Commissioner Lara, who is our California's 8th elected insurance commissioner. As leader of the nation's largest state consumer protection agency, he is charged with protecting California consumers. During the COVID-19 pandemic, he has been busier than ever. Thank you, Commissioner Lara, for being here and providing resources and answers to our questions. At this time, could you please provide some opening comments?
Thank you. Thank you, Ron, and thank you to the Tuolumne County Association of Realtors for having me today. I'm happy to join you all to give you an update on the work we have been doing on behalf of the residents and businesses of Tuolumne County. Since the COVID-19 pandemic started, I have joined more than 30 town halls about business insurance issues, including business interruption, workers' compensation, and reached more than 7,000 businesses and consumers on COVID-19-related issues. We have a lot of work to do to assist businesses and their workers as we continue to try to cope with this pandemic and the future of our economy and the state. First, I want to talk about premium relief. I have taken a number of steps to help businesses, including ordering insurance companies to return a portion of premiums to businesses and drivers affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Most of you have heard and probably seen in the news about, the news has been only focusing on the private passenger automobile reimbursements that we're giving to, private passenger auto insurance folks. But there's a number of other insurance lines that I've ordered companies to return to our businesses, including commercial automobile insurance, workers' compensation, commercial multi-peril, commercial liability, and medical malpractice, and quite frankly, any other line of coverage where the risk has become substantially overstated as a result of the pandemic. So to date, I'm proud to say that California automobile insurance companies have returned close to $1.2 billion to California drivers. And that $1.2 billion includes more than $1 billion in premium relief for more than 18 million policyholders, while Californians struggled during the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. And it also includes $180 million in future rate increases that insurance companies reduced in response to the order that I issued since the beginning of the health crisis. So my actions, as I said earlier, go farther than any other state by including businesses where the risk of loss has fallen as a result of the pandemic. My department is currently reviewing the reports we received for insurance companies about how much premium they are returning from commercial policies. We need to verify those amounts and make sure that they're sufficient. As a business owner, you should not have to do anything to receive the refund or credit. And insurance companies must provide this relief as soon as possible. If you're a business owner or if you're a consumer and haven't received any type of discount from your insurance company, I'm going to have you please call our department and I'll give you that number in a couple of seconds. A few weeks ago, I also extended my order for premium relief to include the month of June and beyond, as long as the risk of accident and loss remains lower due to the pandemic. So we encourage businesses to contact our department at 1-800-927-4357 or by visiting our website at insurance.ca.gov. If you have any questions on this issue, I also want to just briefly, you know, in addition to getting premium back to businesses and consumers, there are a few other major issues we are monitoring, including business interruption insurance. My department has received a number of complaints regarding claims for businesses, for business interruption, I should say, insurance related to the COVID-19 closures. Many businesses have looked at their insurance policies for possible coverage. As you know, each policy is a legal contract between the business owner and the insurance company. And since early March, we have seen dozens of lawsuits around the country, including California, which concern the interpretation of these policies and whether these policies cover losses due to COVID-19. I can tell you, you know, we are monitoring these cases as they move forward through the courts. And, you know, we've also taken several significant steps to address business interruption. We have learned and have been learning that some insurance companies are just denying interruption claims without a thorough investigation or even discouraging business owners from even filing a claim, and that is simply unacceptable. In response to numerous complaints from businesses, public officials, and stakeholders, I require insurance companies to comply with their contracts and California law by thoroughly investigating every business interruption claim caused by COVID-19, just as they would any other disaster, like a fire, a flood, or an earthquake. My department will be watching to make sure that they do and ensure that everyone is getting a fair claim. In addition to COVID-19, as you can imagine, we are now an ongoing threat as we face wildfires. Over the past year before the COVID-19 pandemic, I joined 22 meetings on wildfire insurance issues across the state, attended by more than 2,000 people. This includes our town hall in Tuolumne at the Sonora Opera House in August of last year. And I have to say, I missed that taco stop, that taco restaurant. It was so good right there in Sonora. The reality is that these wildfires are, you know, a statewide problem. And the fires that we have seen this year, a reminder that the wildfire season is already here. And, you know, whether we're ready for it or not, CAL FIRE and other agencies have responded already to dozens of fires in nearly every county. We held a town hall with CAL FIRE and the Governor's Office of Emergency Services and Consumer Group United Policyholders earlier this month to talk about preparation and what you can do to better protect yourself. And you can link to that event that we had and listen to that on our website at insurance.ca.gov. If we have another wildfire season that, you know, damages and destroys homes and businesses, our department will be there to help you recover like we always have. The department staff is always ready to join Cal OES and local assistance centers to help people with their insurance needs. Again, after the devastating Tubbs and Camp Fire in 2017 and 2018, we organized insurance workshops where we met one-on-one with wildfire survivors from 2017 and the 2018 wildfires, as well as the 2018 fire-related Montecito mudslides. The Department of Insurance intervened and was able to recover more than $240 million for wildfire claimants. So it is imperative that if you have any questions, please give us a call. And again, just to note that before my election as insurance commissioner, I supported legislation to expand rights for wildfire survivors as a member of the Senate, and I proudly authored SB 824, which gives protection against insurance non-renewals to everyone living in or near the perimeter of a declared wildfire emergency. And last year, we put that law into effect for the first time. More than 1 million homes in 180 zip codes are protected until December 2020 from non-renewal. You can find that whole list of zip codes on our website at insurance.ca.gov. If we have another state declared disaster this year and beyond, the new law will protect those from non-renewals for a year as well. The department is committed to protecting consumers while working with the legislature to promote home hardening and other strategies that make insurance available and affordable for all. And quickly, I don't want to take all the time, but I wanted just to mention, because this is so critical, I want to urge all businesses to be on the lookout for fraud and insurance scams. Unfortunately, during these times, it is when we see businesses targeted for fraud. If you see any red flags or suspicious activity, please report it to the Department of Insurance. We have 300 sworn investigators and enforcement personnel with 9 regional offices, including an office in Sacramento that serves Tuolumne County. I will also just tell businesses to be on the alert for folks offering bogus worker compensation policies. Verify the legitimacy of the selling agent and the policy being offered. You can verify the agent's license on our website and contact their insurance company directly to verify the policy. Again, you can report any issues to my department at 1-800-927-4357. The majority of our staff are working from home, and we are here to help California consumers. You can call us again at the number I provided, or 1-800-927-4357. Insurance is complicated, and we know for a lot of our business owners, their primary focus is keeping the doors open and keeping their customers and workers safe. So I want to make sure that they feel that they can call us. We will help walk you through the process and give you the answers that you need. We can help guide you again through this entire process that can be sometimes complicated. And so we have insurance experts ready to help and answer your questions in multiple languages. You're going to talk to an actual person. This is not a recording. And again, thank you for inviting me to be here, and we look forward to answering your questions. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Laura. And as you mentioned, we've already started into the fire season, and up next is Emily Kilgore, who is the fire prevention specialist for the Unit Public Information Officer for CAL FIRE, Tuolumne County and Calaveras Unit. Emily has served 11 years with the United States Forest Service in their Stanislaus National Forest, and then joined CAL FIRE in the Santa Clara unit, where she spent 4.5 years as communications operator. In 2017, Emily transferred to the Tuolumne Calaveras unit, where she has served to present day as fire prevention specialist too and public information officer. So thank you, Emily, and please provide your opening comments. Is Emily on?
Thank you, Ron and Commissioner Laura, for having me on the Teletown Hall today. I'd like to start off by giving a quick statistic. In 2020, since January 1st through July 19th, which was this past Monday, CAL FIRE has responded to 4,200 fires, totaling an acreage of 37,837 acres, and that is an increase over last year by about 1,800 acres. So what does that mean to residents and business owners in Tuolumne and Calaveras County? It means that fire preparedness begins in your home with you and every member of your family and business being involved. It includes steps to complying with defensible space, Public Resource Code 4291, hardening your home or business, and preparing an evacuation plan and practicing that plan prior to a wildfire. There's several tools available in the community to help you prepare, and we'll go over some of those today, as well as answer any questions you may have.
Well, thank you. I know it's going to be a busy season for you, and we appreciate all your efforts. Up next, we have Don Golick, who's District Director for U.S. Small Business Administration Fresno Office. In 2018, Don was appointed Director for the United States Small Business Administration's Fresno District, the first woman to ever hold that position. She leads a team helping small businesses in the 15-county, 42,000-square-mile San Joaquin Valley and Central Coast region to scale up and succeed with Small Business Association programs. Don, we thank you for being with us today, and please provide your opening comments.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. Good afternoon, and thank you to Commissioner Lara and the Tuolumne County Association of Realtors for the opportunity today. I'm Don Golick, Director of the Fresno SBA District Office. And the SBA is the federal government agency that's here to serve and advocate for America's 31 million small businesses. I know that the last several weeks have been incredibly difficult for business owners in Tuolumne County, across California, and around the country. So I want all of our small businesses to know that you are not alone right now. There's assistance and help available from the SBA and our partner organizations. I've been so glad to be able to participate in some other events hosted by Tuolumne County and connect with business owners. Not only do you have the SBA to assist you, but also our partner agencies, including SCORE and the Small Business Development Center, who are also available to help. If you want to reach out to the SBA, you can contact us via email, fresno@sba.gov. You can reach us by phone, 559-487-5791. We do have bilingual assistance in Spanish. Or you can go on the SBA webpage, www.sba.gov, and click on the local assistance link to find the closest SBA-funded organization that can provide help to you at no charge. SBA is helping COVID-19-affected small businesses through two primary programs, the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, or EIDL, and the Paycheck Protection Program, also known as PPP. COVID-19 is the first time in SBA's history that the agency has issued a disaster declaration due to a virus. And as a result, businesses, nonprofit agencies, and farmers can receive assistance from SBA programs. I want to talk briefly about the Economic Injury Disaster Loan. This is a long-term, low-interest loan with a 12-month deferment, and the amount of funding that a business can receive is determined by the information that they provide in their application. The Economic Injury Disaster Loan gives small businesses access to capital now, a period of time to recover and stabilize as our state and our county start to reopen, while no payment is due on the loan, and then up to 30 years to repay the economic injury disaster loan at a low 3.75% interest rate. There's no fee to apply, and there's no obligation to accept a loan if a business is offered one. SBA recognizes that many small business owners are very concerned about potentially taking on more debt right now. So I think it's really important to mention again that there is a 12-month deferment on the loan. So for a business that may get a loan in August, they wouldn't start making payments on that until August of 2021. So again, that period of time to stabilize and recover before any payment is due is really important. While the economic injury disaster loans are processed and administered by SBA's Office of Disaster Assistance, separate from my office, we are able to assist businesses if you've applied, you don't know what the status of your application is, or you're having difficulty getting information. I know I've handled numerous calls from Tuolumne County businesses, so please feel free to reach out to our office, again, by email, fresno@sba.gov, or by phone, 559-487-5791 if you need help or assistance with your economic injury disaster loan. I also want to mention that we're doing webinars a couple of times a week for businesses that may have applied and been turned down. So if you've applied and have gotten a denial letter, we can assist you with figuring out your next steps and how to potentially request that SBA review your application again. I also want to mention the other SBA program, the Paycheck Protection Program, which also provides small businesses with access to capital now, a period of time to stabilize, reopen, and recover. Under the Paycheck Protection Program, businesses can get forgivable loans of up to $10 million that they can use for payroll, rent, utilities, and interest on mortgages. Most important thing, if you're thinking about applying for PPP, please do that as soon as you can. While the program is running until August 8th, we're seeing more and more businesses that are struggling to find an SBA lender who can do the loan for them. So if you're thinking about applying, please do that as soon as you can. If you need assistance finding a lender, you can also reach out to our office and we can help connect you with a lender in your area. businesses, in addition to being able to work with SBA lenders, can also connect with other PPP loan providers. Groups like American Express, PayPal, Square, and QuickBooks also can connect small businesses to PPP lenders. But again, it's critically important that you act quickly if you're thinking about applying for the Paycheck Protection Program. For businesses that may have applied under one of the previous rounds of the PPP program, if you have not heard from your lender, you should reach out to them and contact them to find out what the status of your loan application is. We're seeing businesses that applied under round one who are just now seeing their applications being processed under round two. I also want to point out it's important for businesses to know that you don't need to be open in order to obtain and use a Paycheck Protection Program to pay your businesses. It's critically important for our businesses to understand that you can use your loan proceeds to pay employees on vacation, sick leave, or other non-work types of status. So even if your business may be closed right now, you are still able to obtain and use a Paycheck Protection Program loan. I know we're going to be taking questions later, and I'm happy to answer those, but I want to just close with the fact that the SBA's Fresno District Office is committed to working with our region's small businesses in Tuolumne County, across the San Joaquin Valley, and along the Central Coast for the long haul as we all work together to recover from this economic disaster. Our office in Fresno is here in the community. We're part of the community, and our goal is to serve as many small business owners as we can. Again, please reach out to my office if we can be of assistance to you. You can email us, fresno@sba.gov. You can reach us by phone, 559-487-5791. And for the nearest local SBA-funded partner, visit the sba.gov website and click on that local assistance link. So thank you again to Commissioner Lara. Thank you to the Tuolumne County Association of Realtors, and I'll look forward to answering questions later.
Okay, well, thank you, Dawn. Also want to thank our listeners who have submitted questions. We'll try and answer as many questions as we can today, but if we're not able to answer all the questions during the town hall, please know that your questions will be answered directly from the relevant organization. The town hall is being recorded, and we will make the recording available on our website and the Department of Insurance's website. Also available after the event will be a summary of notes for the town hall with contact and resource information. So at this time, Commissioner Lara, we have our first question for you, and it is, our liability insurance will not cover claims related with customers contracting COVID while engaging with our business. We need certainty that we will not be liable for just operating our business, especially when we are making sure we follow CDC recommendations to keep employees and customers safe. What advice or recommendations can you provide us while we operate in this volatile environment?
Absolutely. This is a great question. And, you know, I'm extremely worried and sympathetic to our businesses. You know, even when you reopen businesses, you're going to need some time to recover. And I know liability due to COVID exposure is a very legitimate concern. The department is going to be watching closely to make sure that insurance companies are giving you as much flexibility as possible and that they are fully abiding by their contracts. I understand the burdens being placed on businesses as they attempt to reopen while still keeping their employees and customers safe. It is not an understatement to say that lives are at stake here. Businesses, you know, should follow the governor's resiliency roadmap as well as local guidelines for what processes the business must follow, and that will go a long way towards helping California lead through this pandemic. As businesses reopen, they should, I would really encourage them to have a conversation with their agent or insurance company to get guidance regarding how to safely return to business, and also to make sure your business has the right coverage in place. And that's important because, you know, as we're opening and now closing and now operating under these different guidelines, I know it's confusing, but I would just ask you if you can just call your insurance company, make sure you get their guidelines so that you know, and also be able to figure out what your policy holds so that you're best protected. We, again, if once you hear, once you contact your insurance company and you're not satisfied with these answers, give us a call and we can help figure out a plan and kind of guide you and your business to make sure that you have the proper liability coverage so that you could still keep your doors open and be able to keep your customers and your workers safe. Again, that number is 1-800-927-4357. Thank you so much, Ron.
Okay. Yeah, that's important. I mean, we're definitely in uncharted territory these days. The next question I have is for Emily at Cal Fire, and it deals with, is defensible space with PRC 4291 required on vacant lots? And if I need assistance with complying with defensible space, again, PRC 4291, is there help available?
Well, defensible space requirements are specific to properties that have structures on them, and it only extends 100 feet from the structures. Some local fire districts, such as the Ebbets Pass Fire District in Calaveras County, have a specific regulation that applies to a vacant lot being cleared. However, there isn't any fire districts within Tuolumne County that have a vacant lot clearance regulation. So no, Public Resource Code 4291 does not apply to vacant lots. And then as far as needing assistance to come into compliance, depending on where you live within Tuolumne County, you may be within the boundary of the Highway 108 Fire Safe Council or one of the newly formed FireWise communities. Both organizations can and have aided community members in a variety of ways, including green waste vouchers, lot clearance assistance for seniors and disabled community members, as well as educational inspections. And last but not least, community members that would like to have one-on-one discussions can also contact me, and I'll provide that information at the end of the call.
Okay. Thank you. Getting back to Commissioner Lara, we have a question that relates to a homeowner having difficulty finding an insurance company willing to write insurance in the area. What can they do?
Thank you. No, this is a very common question I've heard in meeting with homeowners across California. The department has tools to help you find companies willing to, you know, really having, we can help you find somebody who's willing to write you insurance. As directed by previous legislation, the department has also created the Homeowners Insurance Finder tool that can direct consumers to companies that may be writing policies in the area. That's also on our website. Although the Homeowners Insurance Finder tool doesn't guarantee that a homeowner can find coverage, since it will depend on your home based on your particular characteristics or location, even if the insurance company writes policy in the general area, this is especially true for those living in the areas with wildfire risk. The reality is that there are parts of California where you cannot find an insurance company willing to write your insurance or even return your phone call. We've heard that again and again. This is a major concern that I've been working on since last year. The department continues to work with the legislature to promote home hardening and other strategies to make sure insurance is available and affordable for folks, especially so many of our communities living in the foothills. So it's an issue that I know very well, and we continue to try to find legislative solutions to really get our insurance companies to write in these areas and hopefully mandate that they write in these areas, especially if you've done all the home hardening that we've been asking you to do. So it's an ongoing, the solution is ongoing, and we hear you. And again, reach out to us and we can help guide you and try to find you some coverage. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. This next question is for Dawn with SBA. And it's, I know there were some changes made to PPP in June. Do any of these changes apply to the older PPP loans, or are they just for the new loans made since June? And if someone is self-employed, are they eligible for PPP? You've touched
on that
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great question, Ron. So regarding the changes made to PPP in June, there was four main changes. The first one had to do with a period of time that a business could use their loan proceeds after the funds were dispersed. Under the initial legislation, they only had 8 weeks. However, under the new legislation, businesses have until the end of the year, so until December 31st. The second change had to do with the deferment period. That's really important because that's the period of time where businesses can use the funds, but no payment is due. Again, important opportunity right now for our small businesses to reopen, stabilize, and recover, and be able to use their loan proceeds while no payment is due. So that has been extended from 6 months after the loan was dispersed. Now, under the new version of PPP, it's 10 months after the final decision on loan forgiveness has been decided by SBA. So depending on when a business obtained their PPP loan, they may be looking at early 2022 or late 2021 before any payments would start to need to be made, which is great news for business owners. The third change for PPP had to do with the percentage of the funds which need to be spent on payroll in order for other eligible PPP expenses, things like rent, utilities, and interest on mortgage to be forgivable. That's been lowered from 75% threshold down to 60%. So it gives businesses some additional flexibilities to be able to use their PPP funds for what it is that they need. And then the fourth change had to do with the maturity period of the loan or how long businesses had to repay any balance that's owed. Again, it's only a 1% interest rate. Under the old version of PPP, it was 2 years. For any loans made June 5th or later, it's 5 years. So the good news is that for businesses that may have had a PPP loan that was made before June 5th, all of these changes, with the exception of that loan maturity date or the length of time they have to repay any balance that is owed, automatically apply to them. Important to note that on the time period, businesses have either 8 weeks or 24 weeks or any period in between. So if they want to get their funds used up in 15 weeks or 19 weeks, they have that flexibility. So you can now use your funds for to the end of the year, December 31st, you get that extended deferment period. So again, the point at which any payments may need to be made on your loan has been pushed back. You only have to spend 60% on payroll. And then if you and your lender mutually agree, you can actually extend your loan maturity date. So that answers that first part of your question, Ron. The second part of the question related to self-employed businesses, yes, self-employed businesses, both with and without employees, are eligible for the PPP program. For businesses that don't have any employees, they'll use their 1040 Schedule C, line 31 on that, for net profit to calculate their loan. I want to mention for anybody who's thinking about applying for PPP, on the Department of Treasury webpage, which is www.treasury.gov, there's a fantastic resource document that's called How to Calculate Your Loan Amount. And it provides really detailed step-by-step information for a variety of different business scenarios, including a business that's self-employed, whether they have employees or not, sole proprietors, nonprofits, farmers, corporations. All of those are covered, and it walks you through exactly what information you need to pull from to put on your PPP application, as well as what kind of documentation you'll need to provide your lender. And I also wanted to say that the best way for businesses to ensure that they maximize loan forgiveness is to make sure that they correctly calculate their loan amount up front so that they're only requesting the funds that they'll be able to use within that covered PPP period.
Okay. Well, thanks. I will definitely be checking out that website. So next, back to Commissioner Laura. We received several questions on the FAIR plan, as I'm sure you can guess. And some residents think the FAIR plan should sell a full homeowner's policy, while others think they should not. Others think the FAIR plan should also offer an extended replacement cost option. So what has the department done to ensure or enable the FAIR plan, or I guess other insurance carriers for that matter, to meet the needs of the public?
Thank you. Another great question. I know that when I visited Tuolumne County last year, FAIR Plan was a major topic we discussed. And for those who don't know, the FAIR Plan is California's insurer of last resort. It is backed by the insurance companies, not by taxpayers. They will write you fire insurance even if nobody else will, but this is coverage for fire and few other perils only. It is not a comprehensive as a full owner's policy, which also has liability, theft, and other important coverages. To these additional coverages, you would have to buy additional wraparound coverage from the insurance company at an additional cost that is called the difference in condition, or DIC policy. From our experience, having to buy two policies results in consumer paying for two administrative fees, which are expensive and added to your premium instead of one policy. For this reason, I ordered the FAIR Plan to offer an optional full homeowner's policy so that you don't have to purchase two policies, which we believe is much more expensive for already consumers who are suffering with the affordability of insurance. My order doesn't stop insurance companies from offering DIC policies. You will still be able to buy the basic FAIR Plan and DIC if you want, but I wanted you to have another choice as consumers. So my order, as directed, the FAIR Plan to modernize its dwelling policy, which had not changed in decades, to allow for monthly payments, payment by credit card, and increased coverage limits up to $3 million up to from $1.5 million. Last month, the FAIR Plan started offering the higher limit and will soon be offering the monthly payment plan and payment by credit card. However, the FAIR Plan, I have to say, has sued the department to block my order that I had on full homeowner's policy. That litigation is still ongoing, so I really can't comment further on it. While the FAIR Plan has seen tremendous increase in business due to many insurers non-renewing policies in fire-prone areas, they still only write a small percentage of policies statewide. So I don't see any issue with them being able to handle the new business by timely processing bills and paying claims. To learn more about a FAIR Plan policy, you can go to our website at insurance.ca.gov, where we will find you will find our top 10 tips to finding residential insurance. These tips also include a link to the FAIR Plan, but you can also call us with specific questions on FAIR Plan or how to shop for insurance. Again, my goal here is to make sure that if you are being sent to the FAIR Plan, that you have the option not to pay for additional wraparound. I want the FAIR Plan to be able to provide you a comprehensive plan so that, you know, you don't have to pay for that additional administrative fee. We feel that is fair. We feel that is not only time-saving, but also less costly for consumers. So we'll see what the court decides. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. The next question is for Emily at Cal Fire, and the question is, I'm considering making home improvements. Where should I focus my efforts for fire preparedness and safety?
Well, when hardening your home or business, areas to focus on include roofing, decks, vents, and windows. Home or business improvements or building improvements can be costly, and so can the loss of your home or business in a wildfire. If you're making improvements anyway, consider the materials that you're building with and choose fire-resistive, state fire marshal-approved materials first. These can include double-pane windows, ancient 8-inch screened vents or louvered vents, composite decking versus traditional lumber, and various roofing materials. A complete list of home hardening suggestions can be found on our website at www.readyforwildfire.org.
Okay. Thank you. Going back to Commissioner Laura, why are owners who are covered under workman's comp having to pay insurance when at times they can't even draw a paycheck? Also, is there a new rule regarding workers' comp for employees that are working from home?
Thank you, Ron. Another great question. In response to the first part of this question, I included workers' compensation insurance in my premium relief order for exactly that reason. Many businesses have seen their payrolls fall, and workers are being sent home or laid off. You should see your workers' compensation insurance costs decrease as well. You should contact your insurance company if they have not already provided a reduction, and contact my department if you're not satisfied with the response, again, at 1-800-927-4357. As to the second part of this question, there have been changes to workers' compensation regulations. Under my previous workers' compensation regulations, employers that provided workers with the opportunity to transition from regular work duties to lighter, let's say more home-based clerical work, where people were still, businesses were still paying rates based upon that higher work classification. That does not seem fair to me at all. So I issued emergency workers' compensation regulations to make changes to reflect the lower risk for worker injuries in light of this pandemic. These regulations will mandate insurance companies to recompute premium charges for policyholders to reflect reduced risk of loss consistent with my earlier bulletins, and will result in savings for many policyholders as well as businesses. I think I have Tony Signorelli, my Deputy Commissioner on Consumer Services and Market Conduct Branch, to provide more details on the regulations, since he works a lot more with our business community on these issues. Tony, are you on?
Yes, Commissioner. What I would add is that under the emergency regulations that Commissioner Lara initiated, the employers will be permitted to reclassify their employee if their duties have changed. So if an employee was working at a higher-risk job in a building, at the company, and is now working from home, and there's less risk of injury, then that classification should be reduced. This reclassification should also reduce the employer's premiums because they're at lower risk working from home or whatever lower risk job that they're currently working from what they were previously working before. And this change would be retroactive to March 19th, 2020, which was the first day of the governor's statewide stay-at-home order, and it continues through 60 days after the order is lifted. And these regulations also should lower premiums for employers by excluding the premium calculations from the payments to the employees for people that got sick or on family leave or that were furloughed who weren't performing the duties for the employer. And lastly, an important note is that the regulation also prohibits the insurance company from counting claims that they paid for COVID-19 workers' comp related issues for the employee while they were working from being charged against you for future premiums and future rates going forward. So while there was a presumption on workers' comp that the governor issued that employees that were working that contracted COVID-19 would be covered for workers' comp, that is offset by these regulations that now prohibit the insurance company from counting any payments they make to employees for work for COVID-19 related injuries to be counted against you on future workers' comp rates.
Yeah, against future premiums. Okay. Thank you. The next question is for Don at SBA, and the question is, the person applied for an EIDL loan and got a letter from SBA that they were denied for unverified information. What does that mean, and how can they fix it?
Sure. Thank you for that question, Ron. So I know we have gotten that question in the SBA district office from a number of businesses, including some in Tuolumne County. So the denial for unverified information means that when SBA's Office of Disaster Assistance staff reviewed the application, there was some part of what was provided by the business that could not be verified, and that can be a whole variety of things. The good news is that even if your application for an economic injury disaster loan has been declined due to unverified information, you do have the right as an applicant to request reconsideration, and our office can help you do that. Please contact us. You can send your decline letter to fresno@sba.gov, and we can walk you through what steps to take and how to find out specifically what information you need to confirm on your application. There's a protocol where you can confirm that. You can then package up that information that SBA needs. You can provide it by mail, email, or fax. We recommend email. And then SBA will look at your information that you provide. They'll look at your application again. And we have seen businesses who've been declined for unverified information actually get their applications approved. But this is very important. Please let us help you do that, because you want to make sure that you make it easy for the disaster assistance office to basically give you a yes if they can when they look at that information again. And so there's some tips that we can share with you if you contact our office with that decline letter. I also want to mention that in order to assist businesses who've gotten the decline, we are doing a free economic injury disaster loan decline webinar a couple of times a week. So we actually walk through in great detail what this means, as well as other kinds of declines. If you've been turned down due to credit issues, if you've been turned down because your economic injury was not substantiated, there are ways for you to request reconsideration and to successfully provide information that could potentially allow SBA to approve your application. So I would encourage you, if you are interested in participating in one of those webinars, again, there's no charge. We do them in English and Spanish. You do have an opportunity to ask questions live of SBA subject matter experts. So contact us, either email fresno@sba.gov, give us a call, 559-487-5791, if your application for economic injury disaster loan has been declined for any reason, and we will assist you with packaging up and successfully requesting reconsideration so that you could potentially get your application approved the second time SBA reviews it.
All right. Well, I'm sure that will be helpful. The next question is for Emily at CAL FIRE, and I know you've touched on this a little bit, but people are asking, where can I find information on defensible space, PRC 4291 requirements, and what time of year is defensible space required?
Thanks, Ron. I'll start with the second part of that question first. Public Resource Code 4291 for defensible space is required year-round. There is no start and stop time in a calendar year. Just like you'd protect the investment of your vehicle with a regular oil change, your property requires regular maintenance to stay in compliance with Public Resource Code 4291, which will also help protect your home investment from a wildfire. As far as being able to locate information regarding defensible space and fire preparedness, there's several websites available to community members. The first being the previously mentioned readyforwildfire.org. The second is the website for the Highway 108 Fire Safe Council, and that's www.tuolumnefiresafe.org. The third resource is www.tuolumnecounty.ca.gov/OES. And community members can also use that website to sign up for the Sheriff's Office Everbridge system. And then for home hardening information, community members can go to the Office of the State Fire Marshal website, and that's https://osfm.fire.ca.gov. Select divisions, and then wildfire protection. If community members would like one-on-one questions answered or educational inspections conducted on their property, they can contact me at any time. My office phone number is 209-532-7424, extension 101. I can also be contacted by email at emily.pilvor@fire.ca.gov. and that's spelled EMILY.Kilgore, KILGORE.
Okay. Well, thank you. At this point now, we can kind of go for some wrap-up comments, but maybe Commissioner Lara, you could cover in your wrap-up comments what lies in store for homeowners insurance rates going forward. So we have you could have a couple minutes for that, and then everybody else will get 1 minute for their final comments.
Well, thank you again for the invitation to be part of this discussion, which is critical to us. Look, the future of homeowners insurance in California is going to continue to be very complicated as we in the department, along with consumer groups, fight against the insurance industry, who continues to want to be able to dictate where they can write their policies without any assurances that they are going to provide coverage for some of our most vulnerable communities along the foothills and in fire-prone communities where, you know, they continue to really move legislation that's only going to double or quadruple the cost of insurance in a time where we can't afford to do that. You know, Californians are hurting. Our businesses are trying to keep their doors open. The last thing they need is to have an additional cost tagged to their premium. And so we're going to fight these efforts in the legislature. And I also want to remind our consumers and businesses that if you have any questions regarding your policy, let's not wait for a disaster to occur and then, you know, you find out that you're underinsured or that you have the wrong policy. We can help walk you through these difficult issues. And again, just want to thank you for your time. Please give us a call. Do not hesitate to call us. We have, you know, folks ready to answer your call at 1-800-927-4357. You know, we're going to continue to fight to ensure that our consumers have access to quality insurance, affordable insurance, and that we fight back against any attempts to further tack on any additional fees to their premiums that are already causing so much devastation in our communities. Thank you again.
Well, thank you. We really appreciate your input. And Emily with CAL FIRE, I know it's been a busy season for you guys already, so what would you have for us on your wrap-up comments?
Just a reminder that fire preparedness is your responsibility, and CAL FIRE is here to help. You put your plan in place ahead of a disaster, so feel free to give me a call at any time at 209-532-7424, extension 101.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And Don, could you please give us your final comments? We really appreciate your involvement today as well.
Thank you. Well, thank you again, Ron, to the Tuolumne County Association of Realtors and Commissioner Lara for the opportunity today. As I said at the top of our hour, for our small businesses in Tuolumne County, you are not alone right now to figure any of these federal programs through the SBA out. Our office in Fresno is available to assist you. Please call us 559-487-5791 or email us fresno@sba.gov. We do have Spanish-speaking staff as well and are able to help bilingual business owners. Whether you have questions about the Paycheck Protection Program or Economic Injury Disaster Loan, if you need an update on the status of your application, if you've been denied or turned down and you want assistance for reconsideration to have SBA look at your application again, we can help you with that. And I want to also just mention in closing that time is of the essence. If you are a business owner who's thought about maybe applying for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan or the Paycheck Protection Program, please do that as soon as possible. There's no obligation or cost for either program for you to apply. There's no obligation for you to accept a loan if one is offered to you. But under PPP, again, that program will be sunsetting in just a few days. Please get your applications in. And for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan, that portal has closed and paused at various points over the last several months since COVID-19, and we don't know if that might happen again. So if you think that you may need assistance from either of those programs, I strongly urge you to apply and do that as soon as possible. Again, let my office know how we can assist you, and we're here for you. We're here for the long haul as our community here in the Valley, in Tuolumne County, and across the country reopens, stabilizes, and recovers.
Well, thank you. And I would like to thank our guest speakers very much for their involvement today and the great information they provided. I'd like to thank our listeners for attending this tele-town hall today, and I'd like to thank the Tuolumne County Association of Realtors for hosting this event. So I hope everybody has a great rest of their day, and thank you very much for dialing in.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude your conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using AT&T Event Conferencing. You may now disconnect.